God's design for marriage is found in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Welcome to By Design from American Family Radio.
Welcome to By Design here on American Family Radio. So glad to be with you today for this episode of By Design. My name is Walker Wildman, and my wife Lexi has done some of these episodes with me, but she's not here with me today. My wife Lexi, we have four young boys together, and the oldest is five, and the youngest is just, I don't know, 4 months old at this point. So four boys, five and under. So we have our quiver full, and my wife is very busy being the one of the primary caregivers with me of our four boys. And so she's not here with me today, but Lexi has done a couple of these episodes with me, so we'll miss her today, but maybe we'll have her back in the future. Well, once again, my name is Walker Wildman. This is By Design here on American Family Radio. And just to give you a little background of By Design is a project of the American Family Association, and the American Family Association, otherwise known as AFA, is the parent ministry of American Family Radio. So the program you're listening to now is produced by American Family Radio, and American Family Radio is a division, is the broadcast division, the broadcast ministry of American Family Association. So that's the connection there. And the show began, you know, about a year or two ago. The idea was brought about to have a project, to have a show here on American Family Radio that is focused on God's design for marriage and family. And so that's what we cover here each week on By Design. Our motto, our slogan, if you will, is one man, one woman for life. And that's not novel. That's not proprietary. It is to God. It is proprietary to God. He is the author, the creator of the institution that we call, that God calls marriage. And God defines marriage as a lifelong covenant between one man and one woman, with the goal of being fruitful and multiplying. That's what Scripture says about raising, bearing and raising children, is to be fruitful and multiply. So we hope to give you sound advice, sound counsel directly from the Word of God as it relates to marriage and family. We want to build strong marriages. We want to build strong families in this country and around the world, because the family is not only one of the core institutions that God created, but it also is critical to the health and the well-being of a nation. I mean, you look throughout human history, where families flourish, the nation often also flourishes. Where the family is degraded, is de-emphasized, is destroyed, that nation typically falls in human history. So the family is critical for multiple reasons, the primary reason being that God created it. Well, hey, today on the show, by the way, you can check out our website, afa.net/by design, afa.net/by design. Not only will you get this episode there, but you'll also get some of our latest videos and our latest challenge for couples out there. You'll also get blogs, articles as it relates to marriage. So afa.net/by design, that's the go-to place, one-stop shop for all things By Design. Well, today I want to talk about finances, because this is a very important topic, a topic that God Himself addresses in His Word, finances, what to do with money. And, you know, people fall at different places as far as their maturity with money, their knowledge of money, you know, what's the purpose of money in an economy, what's the purpose of money in our life, in our families. And so we're going to talk through that today. I think it's very important, not just in this time in America, but throughout all times of life, as a couple, as a married couple, how do we handle our finances? And you look at surveys out there, and there are, you know, pretty much all surveys as far as these studies, these surveys that are put together that ask couples, hey, like, what's the top issue that you and your spouse deal with? What's the top issue that you and your spouse discuss? Oftentimes, the studies go after, you know, what's the number one or two issue for divorce in America? And on virtually all of these studies and surveys, finances are up towards the top. You know, maybe not on every one of them, they are the number one issue. But on the vast majority of studies and surveys about divorce and marriage conflict and marriage in general, finances and money is right there up at the top as far as an issue that couples either struggle with, deeply care about, or discuss often in their marriage relationship. So we want to talk about this today. We don't want to gloss over it. We want to talk about it and hopefully give you some sound wisdom as far as how to handle your finances. Jumping to Scripture, we always got to root our opinions, root our view in God's Word, because we want to have a biblical worldview. We want to have a biblical worldview, because if we try to cover the issue of money detached from God's Word, what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to waste your time. I'm going to give you a bunch of opinions, subjective opinions, and it's not going to leave an impact. It's not going to have a meaningful impact. So we got to root our views in God's Word. That's what it means to have a biblical worldview. So the topic here is finances from a biblical worldview. So let's start in Scripture today on By Design. Let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Here's what 1 Corinthians has to say about stewardship and stewards. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. So once again, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Here's what it says. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. So if you are stewarding, you can steward various things, but today we're talking about finances or money. If we are to be stewards, we need to be trustworthy. All right, so that's what Scripture says about being stewards. So if we are stewarding our family's finances, then we need to do so in a trustworthy manner. Moving down to, let's see, Titus. Let's go to the book of Titus, and let's see what the book of Titus has to say about being a steward, being an overseer. Here's what Titus chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 say. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Talking about contradicting the word of God. So in order to be an overseer, to be a leader, to be a steward, we need to be, what Scripture says, hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. So moving to, let's go to 1 Timothy. All right, so what does 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 have to say about finances? And this is primarily aimed at husbands, dads. Listen to this. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Strong words directly from Scripture. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Listen to this one more time. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, we're talking to dads out there, we're talking to husbands, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So the husbands out there listening to this show, By Design, the dads out there listening to By Design, God has called you and I to be the providers of our family. And we could get into the other roles of a husband, the other roles of a dad, protector, so on and so forth, spiritual lead in the home. But for this show, we're talking about finances. So it is the primary duty for fathers, for husbands, to provide for his family. And not just financially, but also basic needs, shelter, food, so on and so forth. Let's see. The last scripture I want to cite before we jump into some practical advice for the show today. Once again, you are listening to By Design here on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman, and we're here to promote God's design for marriage and family and to help couples build a more godly marriage and build a more flourishing family through the help of God and His Word. The last scripture that I want to cite today as it relates to finances is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money or from love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Talking about the words of Jesus and the words of God. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And that's important. So Scripture says that we're supposed to keep our life free from love of money. So we're supposed to keep our life in proper order, and we're supposed to keep our priorities in order according to God's Word. But nowhere in Scripture are you going to find anything about how money is evil, how as believers, we should have nothing to do with money. It doesn't say that. No, it says keep your life free from love of money, meaning idolizing money. We don't need to do that. We need to keep money in its proper place, and we need to understand what it is intended to be used for. So money is a tool as Christians that we can use for various purposes. You can use money. Money is an amoral thing. Money is an amoral thing, meaning money is not inherently evil or inherently good. All right, money is a tool that can be used for good, and that's what we should be focused on. Or money can be used for evil. You can use money for a variety of things, purposes, etc. And so as Christians, we need to use our finances to be good stewards and to honor God with that which we have. Well, to give some practical advice, let's do that today. Let's jump into some ways that maybe you and your spouse, husband and wife together, can be better stewards of your money, be better stewards of that which God has entrusted you with. Well, I've got to say, and this is interesting because we either have like the hardcore fans, and you'll get what I'm saying in a minute, or we have people who are like, I just don't like him. I just don't like him. All right, I'm talking Dave Ramsey. I'm talking Dave Ramsey. So I've got to admit that I'm a Dave Ramsey fan. I am a Dave Ramsey fan. And, you know, I talk to some people and they'll say, you know, I just don't like Dave Ramsey. And a lot of people don't like Dave Ramsey just because he's very blunt, very upfront. He doesn't really parse words. He just tells you what's on his mind. And some people love that. Some people hate it. That's up to you. But nonetheless, Dave Ramsey's a longtime financial advisor, and he heads up Ramsey Solutions. He has a Dave Ramsey show, so on and so forth. But one of the things he's very well known for is the seven baby steps. The seven baby steps, these are financial bullet points that families, many families follow as a way to build wealth, as a way to build wealth and be good stewards of their finances. So I've gone through Dave Ramsey's courses, I've read his books, and I follow many of his baby steps. And so let's go through some of these today. So these are not my baby steps. These are Dave Ramsey's baby steps, but we're going to go through them. And then I also have another source that we'll look at this show as it relates to finances. So, you know, one thing that I appreciate about Dave Ramsey is he does keep it simple. You know, he keeps it simple. He doesn't go up, you know, at 40,000 feet. He doesn't go below 40,000 feet and make things complicated, and you got to be a financial advisor, and you need to be an investor, and you need to go to school for 6 years. You know, he keeps it very, very rudimentary and simple. And it really helps a lot of families and has helped a lot of families in this country to properly steward their finances. And by the way, Dave Ramsey is a believer. He is a Christian. He's a professed believer. So that's important as well. You know, where are we getting our advice from? We need to get our advice from people who subscribe to a biblical world view. So let's go through Dave Ramsey's seven baby steps, and then we'll jump to another resource and wrap up this segment. But as far as how couples should handle their finances, here are Dave Ramsey's seven baby steps. The first one is that couples should save $1,000 for a starter emergency fund. That's baby step one, save $1,000 for a starter emergency fund. This can be used if you have a flat tire, if one of your home appliances break, although that costs probably more than $1,000. But if you have an unexpected event where you just need cash to for an emergency, Dave Ramsey says, first baby step, save $1,000 for your starter emergency fund. Baby step number two, pay off all debt, and then in parentheses, except the house, using the debt snowball. So many of us listening, if we're adults and we have bills and we have families and we have children, you know, you hear somebody say, pay off all your debt. You're like, wow, that's like an impossible task. But it's really not. It can be done over time. So Dave Ramsey's baby step number two is pay off all debt, in parentheses, except the house, using the debt snowball. So you got car loans. We've all been there before. You have car loans. You have, hopefully not, but some people get out loans on lawnmowers and refrigerators and mattresses and all kind of stuff. So Dave Ramsey says, look, pay off all your debt except for the house. That's baby step number two. Baby step number three, by the way, baby step number two is one of the hardest, paying off all your debt. Baby step number three, save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency fund. Wow. So add up what you make, what you earn over the course of 3 to 6 months, and stock that away in an emergency fund should you lose your job, should the economy go south, or other reasons, other predicaments that you may be put in, other situations. Dave Ramsey says baby step number three, save 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency fund. Once again, today on By Design, we're talking finances, we're talking stewardship, and we already looked at Scripture and what God's Word has to say about us being good stewards. But I want to also tell you what others say about being good stewards, about what Christians say, the type of tactics or the type of advice that has helped them in their quest to be good stewards of that which God has entrusted them. All right, so Dave Ramsey, his fourth baby step, invest 15% of your household income in retirement. Invest 15% of your household income in retirement. All right, so you add up what you, your spouse, everybody in your household is making in a year or in a month period, and then 15% of that needs to be going into retirement. All right, that way you can retire and be able to live happily, be able to live comfortably, and hopefully be able to be generous with your children and grandchildren down the road. So that's baby step number four. Baby step number five is to save for your children's college fund. Save for your children's college fund. And, you know, this isn't as popular. Well, many of these things aren't as popular, but, you know, baby step number five, saving for your children's college fund, is probably not the most popular way to pay for college. You know, many people do student loans. Some people do work their way through college. Young adults work their way through college and pay for college as they go, which is amazing. That's great for those who are able to do that. And then some parents do save up for their children's college fund, and they help their child get through college. And I know a lot of parents who say, look, I'll pay for your college, but you need to work and pay for other expenses such as housing, food, so on and so forth. So baby step number five is go ahead and start saving for your children's college fund. Baby step number six, this is going to be an amazing one whenever I get there. And by the way, I am working my way down the baby steps here. Pay off your home early. That's baby step number six, pay off your home early. You know, getting that mortgage paid off is a huge relief for many couples. And, you know, some couples get it paid off in their 40s, which is excellent. Other couples, you know, it's their 50s or 60s before they get their home paid off. But just imagine what you can do with money that you've been primarily devoting towards your mortgage for, I don't know, 15, 20, or 30 years. Imagine having that money freed up, having your home paid off. So pay off your home early. Then you can use that money to invest, to be generous, so on and so forth. The last baby step, if you've tackled all six of the ones I just mentioned, is build wealth and give. That's baby step number 7. If you've done 1 through 6, baby step number 7 should be fairly easy. Once again, this is By Design. My name is Walker Wildman. And we're talking about finances today on the show. And By Design is aimed at helping promote, uplift God's design for marriage. God's design for family, our motto, our slogan is one man, one woman, for life. And once again, you can find all this great content on our website, afa.net/by-design. That's the URL. And when you go there and find today's episode, today's podcast, you can click through to the podcast, to the audio, and we will provide a link to some of these sources that I've discussed today. We'll provide a link to some of the scripture that I've gone through as it relates to finances and stewardship. I'll also provide a link to these 7 baby steps put out by Ramsey Solutions or Dave Ramsey. We'll provide a link to all of this. But folks, covering finances, but more broadly, covering God's design, not just covering, but talking through God's design for marriage and family is so important in today's society. It's always been important, but it's important today because you look around at our culture, you look around our society, and there's just a lot of brokenness. And I'm not just talking from a spiritual sense, although that's our primary focus as Christians, but just from an institutional and a makeup sense, the family is just broken. I mean, in America, broadly speaking, the God's design for marriage, God's design for family has just been shattered. And you could get into all the reasons why and the studies and what's gone wrong. But ultimately, folks, we can confidently say that marriage, the marriage institution in America, has eroded because as Americans, we have been spiritually eroded. We have eroded spiritually in this nation. And I'm talking broadly here. I'm talking as a culture, as a society, as a nation in general, all right? As a nation in general, we have really downgraded, disrespected God's design for marriage and family. We've done this through a plethora of ways, but you can get into adultery, you can get into fornication, you could get into the sexual deviancy movement, the homosexuality movement, the transgenderism movement. You could get into all those topics, those categories, and you know, and how much of that factors in here. But ultimately, our nation and marriage relationships in this nation, couples just don't have their eyes on God. And many of them are unbelievers. They don't subscribe to God's word. They don't subscribe to a biblical worldview. They don't submit themselves to God's authority. And so when you detach yourself, when you detach your marriage from the creator, from the designer of marriage and family, you are destined to fail. You are destined to doom, to fail, when you detach yourself, when you detach your marriage from God's design. So I just want to challenge our audience today. We've talked about finances and how couples can be better stewards of that which God has entrusted them with, and that's very important. So we try to cover different topics that are helpful for couples here. But speaking more broadly, as we head towards the end of this show, speaking more broadly, we have to first submit ourselves to God. When Jesus was questioned throughout his ministry and towards the end of his life on earth, Jesus was questioned, you know, what do people need to do to be saved? What do we need to do to be saved? These were the disciples, the apostles, the Pharisees, all the leaders in Israel, in Jerusalem. They were saying, what do we need to do to be saved? And they were expecting, many of them, this big, long Old Testament law laundry list of things you need to do to be saved. But what does Jesus respond with? He says, you must believe in me to have eternal life. I'm summarizing that, but Jesus says, in order to be saved, you must believe that I am the Son of God and that I have come to save you from your sins. Repent and believe. That's what Jesus says we need to have eternal life. So if anyone's listening out there, you never knew who the audience is when you're doing podcast and radio, but I just want to mention that if there are any couples out here listening to this show, listening to By Design, and they're like, okay, the financial information, that was great. You know, yeah, we need to do better on our family budgeting. But you're like, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian. I don't subscribe to a biblical worldview. Well, I just want to open this up for you. That Jesus says all you must do is to repent and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what you need to do to submit yourselves to God so that you can then begin honoring Him and His design for marriage and family. So I just want to encourage you out there today, and for the Christians out there, for those who already are born-again believers, we need to be good stewards. We need to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with, and we need to use it for kingdom purposes, whether that be making sure that you're supporting your local assembly, your local church body, supporting your pastor, whether you're donating to charities, whether you're helping your neighbor with something. There's a variety, a plethora of ways that you can use the money that God has given you, that God has entrusted you with, to support His kingdom and to do God honoring things, including providing for your family and providing for your household, so on and so forth. This has been By Design. I'm Walker Wildman. So glad to be with you today on the show. By the way, if you missed anything or you just want to know more, go to afa.net/by design. That's afa.net/by design. We're here to promote and uplift God's design for marriage and family. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.